I'm going to bring a reading this morning from Philippians. 2 weeks ago, Bill Brown brought a sermon from Philippians chapter 4, and this is a reading from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of this resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Who here likes stories? I reckon we're actually addicted to stories. We just can't get enough of them. And I don't think a moment or a day goes by when we don't engage in stories of one form or another. Last night on TV, I watched a story, a movie that I've seen several times before, Taken. Has anyone ever seen the movie Taken? Well, I watched it again last night, and I knew the ending, but I got caught up in the story, because I'm addicted to the story. Has anyone ever read a book more than once? And you do it, even though you know what's happening at the end, you do it because you're addicted to the story. Has anyone ever been to more than one football game? Yes, because if you follow certain teams, you know what the ending's going to be every time, don't you? But you go because it's the drama, you're addicted to the story. And has anyone ever bought and read one of those gossip magazines? I mean, read them in the doctor's surgery. And you do that because you want to find out about the next thing that's happened in the life of such and such a celebrity, right? How many people check into Facebook on a regular basis to find out what's happening in people's lives? We are addicted to stories. Movies, books, sports, celebrities. We want to find out who's the hero, who's the villain, who wins, who loses. We're addicted to stories. But more than that, we're actually shaped by stories. They're powerful. Stories change our behaviour. Stories shape our actions. When certain people tell the right stories, or not so much the right stories, but powerful stories, people even leave their homes and travel to the other side of the world and risk their lives. And we see it played out in the media all the time. People shape stories about who are the baddies and who are the goodies and what you should do in response and who's going to ultimately win. And it motivates people to go and do sometimes heroic things and other times horrendous things. Stories are powerful. And it's not just the stories that leaders use to motivate people to go to war. If any of you have ever been awake at night and couldn't get to sleep, and you've decided because you want to do that, you're going to turn on the TV. And you see on the TV one of those infomercials, you know, that at the beginning of it says, you know, this is a paid presentation from such and such a person. And then the infomercial, they proceed to sell you a story of what your body will look like in 15 weeks if you just buy this particular bit of exercise equipment. Has anyone ever seen one of those stories? And they sell those things, and people buy them, and then they leave them in the garage. You know, they're not necessarily powerful stories to actually change your body shape, but they do change the shape of your wallet. So, you've got the stories in the serious and the world shaping, and you've got stories in the mundane and sometimes the ridiculous. Who used to tell you a story? Well, I'm sure all of us were told stories by our parents when we were young. I remember my, you know, you can do it from books and all those sort of things, but I remember that my grandfather had made up a series of stories about a mouse. I can't even remember the name of it. No, I do remember the name of that mouse. The mouse's name was Archibald. And one of the stories that he told was about how he used to, he was going through like a gutter or a drain or whatever else, and he had on the front legs, he had white gumboots, and on the back legs, he had red gumboots. A bit like the white lights at the front of a car and the red lights at the back. So those were the stories that I was told, one of the stories that I was told when I was young. Maybe it was a favourite book. And I remember that when our kids were young, we used to read them a book about Tootle, a train. And he was learning to be a train driver, a steam train, sorry, and he had to pass the test about staying on the tracks no matter what. He had to get 100 A-plus in that. And we used to read that story over and over and over and over again. We even got to the point where we would surreptitiously turn a couple of pages at once to get to the end quicker. But you see, it's not just the books that our parents read us when we're young. It's the stories they tell us, maybe not verbally, but the stories they live out. The way they live and the way they communicate us tell us stories about what life's about. They tell us stories about who's a good person and what you should do. Should you aspire to go to university, the sort of person you should be, the people you should hang out with, the sort of football team you should support. You know, our parents tell us stories that shape our lives maybe indelibly. We're addicted to stories, and stories are powerful. They shape our lives. But more than that, our lives are stories. Have you ever said the phrase, "Oh, that's the story of my life"? Have you ever been to a funeral? In the eulogy, they tell the story of the person's life. Our lives are stories. So here's a question for you to think about. What narrative, what story is shaping and forming and controlling your life at the moment? Are you living out a story that of parents' expectations that was drummed into you when you were young? Are you living out a story defined by the culture where you have to grow up and get an education and get a job and then get a humongous mortgage and then work for 30 years to pay the mortgage off just in time to die? Are you living a story where you're just looking for the quiet life? Are you living a story where you're always racing around and doing things to try and make sure you're accepted by people? To get affirmation or acceptance from people. Maybe not ever succeeding in getting it, but doing lots of sometimes ridiculous things to try and gain acceptance from people. Are you living that story? Are you living the story where you're just looking for excitement for the next new thing, for the thing that's going to get a bit of adrenaline flowing in your life? What's the story that's driving your life? You may not have got to the end of it yet, but what's the story that you're living in the middle of? Is it that you just want to live a quiet life? You know, just go through life, minimal fuss, all that sort of stuff. I just want things to be calm and ordered and peaceful. That's what I want. I don't want a life full of drama. I just want, is that the story that you're trying to live? Or maybe you're succeeding in living. Whatever stories we are living, those stories can change. And they can sometimes change our lives in dramatic ways. We can be caught up with a new story that changes the direction of our life. We can be caught up in a new narrative that makes a substantial and profound difference to our lives. You meet someone and they look so beautiful or so handsome and they just get you so excited and your heart starts pounding and you start to get to know them a bit better and you begin to imagine a story of your life where you're living your life with them forever. And then there's wedding bells and there's a family and there's children and then there's the retirement village and it's a totally different life to the one you would have had if you've never met the person you ended up marrying. Or maybe you've gone to a company and they've sold you a story about what life would be like if you joined their company. And you start a new career and your life substantially changes. Maybe even the place you live, the hours that you work, the sort of finances that you have. Your life changes because you buy into a bigger story. You buy into a new story. And it wouldn't be many sermons that go by for me if I didn't mention something about Apple, right? But I was watching online a couple of weeks ago an interview with Tim Cook, who's the current CEO of Apple. And he was talking about the time where he got recruited to be an executive at Apple. He at the time was working at Compaq. Anyone remember Compaq? They used to be a really big computer company back in the 90s. And this search team kept contacting Tim Cook and saying, Apple would like to interview you for a job. And so eventually, he was quite happy where he was at Compaq, but eventually he said, oh, well, at least I'll go and I'll get a chance to meet Steve Jobs. No intention of taking the job, but he goes out to the West Coast and has this interview with Steve Jobs. And Steve begins to tell him a story, how the rest of the computer industry was going to servers and all this sort of infrastructure and stuff like that. But he had a vision and a story for consumer computers, consumer direction. Totally different direction to what everybody else was doing. And Tim Cook did all the numbers. He was an engineer. Engineers are great. So he got out his spreadsheet and he did his numbers and about what worked out financially for him and he got advice from people. But none of that mattered because he was captured by the story of what Steve Jobs and Apple was about. And it changed his life. When you grasp a new story, it can change your life. And in the passage we read today, amongst other things, it talks about how a new story gripped Paul and it changed his life. You see, he wasn't living a life of failure. He was living a life that he'd learnt from the time he was an infant, the life of being a Jewish person, and it's described there in these verses. If anyone thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He had a story of success in the world that he lived in. Circumcised on the eighth day, a person of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. In Galatians chapter 1, it says he was advancing beyond many of his own age because of his intellect and learning. That was the story of Paul's life. Maybe he's going to end up being high priest one day, or certainly one of the Sanhedrin or whatever else. But he wouldn't have been high priest, but certainly one of the main rulers of Israel. He was on that trajectory. And yet, on the road to Damascus, he encountered Jesus. He encountered a different story. He encountered a bigger story. And his life was changed. Verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He encounters the story of what God is doing in Christ in this world, and it just blows his life apart. It shatters all of his preconceptions about what it was going to be about. His trajectory up through the ranks of the academic and teachers of the law in Israel. And it grabbed him with something bigger. Something bigger that God was doing. Reconciling people to himself. Not just Jewish people, but non-Jewish people. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. The story of what God is doing in the world, revealed through the person of Jesus, his life, death and resurrection, reconciling people, joining people back to God, forgiving their sins, giving them new life, overcoming evil by his death and resurrection, pointing to a new life, an eternal life for people. And this is the story that gripped Paul. This is the big story. Bigger than any blockbuster movie. Bigger than any other story that's pounded into you by the advertisers or the consumer society or by your parents or by the culture. This is the big story that gripped Paul's life. And it changed his life. As I said before, I have the privilege of being on the internet, on video conference with Fu and Anna in China most Sunday nights. And Fu is a guy who came to Australia and found out about Jesus here and it changed his life. We regularly talk about the way his life is different back in China because of the way the story of God and what God's doing in Christ gripped his life. And I still remember the time when Anna was out here for 5-6 months along with a few others, Mona and a few others, and we used to meet weekly to read the Bible together, and we were doing it in the city, first of all in an apartment, and then one day we were doing it at one of the restaurants up near the cinemas in Melbourne Central. And in the middle of, we were just starting reading the book of Acts, and Anna says, I am now a Christian. We'd read through Mark's Gospel and we're starting the book of Acts. And she'd encountered some Christians and was living with one at that time. And she was gripped by the story of Jesus. And we baptized her. And her life's changed. And she talks about how her life is different as well as a result of that. Unlike them, maybe like me, you've grown up with the story of Jesus. Maybe you went to church when you were a kid. Maybe you got given a kid's Bible. Maybe you went to vacation Bible college schools. Maybe you did all of those things. But for those of us who have been fortunate enough to grow up knowing about the story of Jesus, the question for us is, have there been times and moments in our lives where we've been gripped by it? Now, gripped more deeply than by the latest, one of the Harry Potter books, or your favourite movie, or your favourite sporting drama or whatever else, but gripped by the fact that God is doing something to fix up this broken world, and he's done it in Jesus, and it's amazing. It gives shape and reason and meaning and purpose to your life, and it grips you in a deep way that changes you. Paul here says something really dramatic. He says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Paul seems a bit dramatic here. It's all about life and death. It's not just a piddling little football game. It's life and death matters. Well, let me tell you. Every story that you let grip you is a life and death matter. You will live a life and you'll die a death. You can't get away from it. Every story that you choose to live your life by is a life and death matter. It shapes your life and your death. That's at the big level, but it's at the micro level too. You see, when the story shapes you, it changes your choices. And when you choose to do X, you die to Y. When you choose to live in Melbourne, you give up living in Brisbane. That's what happened to me. When I choose to marry Chris, I give up a life of singleness. I get a life, but there's also a death. You see, our lives, the stories that shape our lives, there's always life and death. And if your aim in life is to just live a life of quietness and peace, not disturbed by anything, not too exciting, not too boring, not too dramatic, not too terrible. There's a life and death involved in that too. Because you die to the possibilities of exciting adventures. You die to the possibility of living out all that God has actually created and shaped you to be. Every story that we let grip us is a life and death matter. And so here Paul, he knew he exchanged one trajectory of success, career success and significance, and he was grasped by the big story of what God was doing in this world in Jesus. And we've got that story summarized up on the wall over here. It's the story that's recorded in the Bible about what God's doing. But we often talk about the five C's to help us remember it. That it starts that God created everything, but there's a crisis and the creation is broken. And God made a covenant with Abraham that he would bless the whole world through his descendants. And that ultimately came to Jesus and him dying on the cross and coming back to new life. Pointing to a future where God makes everything new. That's the big story. That's what gripped Paul, that he wanted to know Jesus' death and resurrection. And it shaped his life. So what stories are shaping and controlling us just at the moment? Have you let the story of Jesus and what God is doing through Jesus really grip you at a deep level? Maybe you did that in the past. And now you've been distracted by a subplot. That's a dead end. Maybe just the familiarity has somehow drained the power of the story. But we need to think again about how this world around us so much needs the story of what God is doing in Christ. Maybe your story ties you to the past. But the story of what God is doing always draws you to the future. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
bit further down, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God's story calls us into the future all the time. It doesn't trap us in the past. It doesn't anchor us in the past. The story of what God is doing in Christ Jesus always draws us into the future. It draws us into the future of hope. It draws us into a future where we have a new life with God. It draws us into the future where God makes things new and where evil is finally vanquished and where death and sickness are gone. God calls us and draws us into a future hope that's anchored in historic reality of Jesus' resurrection. So it's not just pie in the sky when you die. It's not just a wish or a hope, but there's concrete actions and historical events on which to base our forward-looking hope. Being gripped by the story of what God is doing in this world through Jesus. We've just come to the end of the football season, and some people are saying, thanks be to God. But we've got to have at least one more football-related analogy before the end. And that's when you talk about, you hear the players talk about them playing their part or playing their role. You see, they have in mind clearly the big story. The big story of them together with their teammates holding up the Premiership Cup, them with their teammates doing the lap of honour and giving it high fives with everybody and taking a million selfies with all of the fans. They are gripped by the big picture, and that translates into what they do in the game. In their little part of the field, when the ball comes near them or a defender runs past them or whatever else it is, the big picture informs their little activity. And when they are doing the training in the summer and they're running around the tan again and they're throwing up after running 10Ks or whatever else it is, and they're going through the difficulties and they're going without alcohol and all the other things that they go without, they do it because they're gripped by the big picture. And so we as Christians, we always need to make sure that we are reminded about what the big picture is. That we don't become myopic and short-sighted and only look at the things that are straight in front of our face. But that we have a regular habit of being gripped by the big picture. That's why it's really important to regularly read the Bible. And not just your favourite verses, but bits from the Old Testament, bits from the Psalms, bits from the New Testament. Just like we do with the Moravian readings. Because it reminds us that there's a big story that's going on. The bit that you read may not be terribly inspiring and it might be sometimes difficult, as some of the Old Testament passages that I've been reading recently are. But what they do remind you is that there is a big story, that God is doing something big, that it is flowing from creation through crisis and covenant and Christ to new creation. And we can be gripped again by the big story. We need to make sure we come back to it regularly. When we walk in the door here and we see the cross, not just, oh, that's a nice bit of wood up there. But it can remind us of the big story. That's a symbol of victory. That's a symbol of new life. That's a symbol of God acting in this world to make it right again. And we can be gripped by it. The times that we share communion together and we think, wow, just as I'm eating this bread and drinking this grape juice, God is with me. And within me, and I can be gripped by that again. Being reminded of what God is doing in this world through Christ grips our lives and shapes our daily actions. But the other way we can do it is just by opening our eyes. And seeing the things that motivated God in the first place. The brokenness around us. The brokenness that led, unfortunately, to someone being murdered just over in Elliot Street on Thursday.
the isolation and loneliness of international students who are trapped without enough resources and too ashamed to tell their family back home. The family who's lost a job just when they've had a new baby. The people whose lives are turned upside down by an incurable illness. People who are going through life not knowing that God loves them. If we just open our eyes to the being informed about the slavery and exploitation that's going on that the ping pongathon's trying to raise awareness about. If we open our eyes not just to the soap opera that's in the news, but it's not just things that sell advertising and cause us to come back and watch the news the next night, but it's real people's lives being changed in dramatic and profound and sad ways. If we can open our eyes to see that, then that can turn us back to the need for engaging in what God's doing. And just like Paul, we can give up all of the other stories that are shaping us, and we can let the story of God shape us. We can give up the petty little things about acceptance or success or a better house or a better car or whatever, and we can be gripped by the entering into the death and resurrection of Jesus, dying to some things and coming alive to other things. Paul was gripped by the story of Jesus, and we need to do the same. Every other story is B grade. If you go onto the Rotten Tomatoes site where they rate all the movies, every other story compared to Jesus and what God's doing in this world through Jesus, it rates of 20%, 30%. A lot more Rotten Tomatoes. So let's make it a habit of engaging with the big story. Let's make it a habit of, on a daily basis, reminding ourselves of the story that we're being called into. Let's make it a habit of seeing the reasons around us why that story is so important. And then let that story, the story of God, shape your life, just as it shaped Paul's life and many other people's lives down through history. Let's pray. God, there's some of us here who are controlled by stories from our past about our worth and who we are and what's important in life. And Lord, sometimes they feel like that they have a powerful hold on us. And Lord, I pray that the power of those stories will be broken by the power of your story. You are redeeming this creation that you have made. That you have entered into our life and understand our struggles. And you have overcome evil and death. And you offer that victory to us. Lord, help us, like Paul, to forget what is behind and strive forward to what you've promised in your story. Lord, help us not to be distracted by advertising and the culture around us into dead-end subplots. Help us to regularly focus, daily focus, on your big story.